Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I hope everybody's having a great day so far, and so glad that you are here with us. Today is the final message in the series, Joshua, and I'm excited to bring it to you. But before I do, if you feel comfortable, you can remove your mask for this portion of the service. And then when you exit the building, please put it back on. I'm really excited because, well, first of all, I wasn't supposed to be here this week. My wife and I were supposed to take vacation this week and next week, but a couple things happened. First of all, there's some travel restrictions that kept us from flying to Georgia. And I just want to tell you, Mom and Dad, I'm so sorry if you're watching that we couldn't join you this week, and we'll hopefully see you soon. And also, we're supposed to have a guest speaker this week, and he couldn't fly here because he was coming from South Carolina. And that also threw a monkey wrench in our plans. But as I was preparing for this Sunday's message, I kind of understood what God was doing and why I needed to be here today. And I believe that God wants to speak clearly to our hearts. Do you believe that? That God wants to speak clearly to your hearts. That's why we gather on a Sunday. We gather for the primary purpose to hear the preaching of God's word. That's so powerful when we do that. And I believe God wants to speak to your hearts, but I also believe God wants to put an exclamation point as we conclude this message series on Joshua. I've been in this series for 6 weeks, but this series actually started in the middle of May as we talked about the nation of Israel in bondage in the book of Exodus. God has been working in my heart through this series, and I've been sharing with you week by week, a progression of the journey of the children of Israel. And I believe that today is going to be an exclamation point. I believe God wanted me to be here today. And I believe God wanted me to speak this message to your heart. My prayer for you is that you hear what the Spirit of God wants to tell you today. That means you got to put your ears on. Everybody got your ears on?
Yeah.
When I was in grade school, they said thinking cap. Right? I'm still trying to find my thinking cap. I left it somewhere. But can you put your ears on? Let me see. Put your ears on. Everybody put your ears. If you're in the chat, put an ear in the chat. Yes. Put your ear on to hear what God is saying. Okay? Yes? Y'all going to be quiet on me? All right. I need a little love from all of you here today, especially those online, because this one is sure going to land right onto your hearts, and I believe God's going to speak to your life. We've been talking about Israel, them in bondage in the book of Exodus, and how God raised up a man named Moses to lead them out of slavery. And we read their journey out of slavery. After 400 years, God heard their cry. Moses leads them out of Egypt to cross the Red Sea. They cross over into the Promised Land. And then they wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Then God raises up Joshua. Moses dies. Joshua's raised up. And within a week, they cross the Jordan and start taking possession of the promise. First thing they faced was Jericho. And God gave them the power to overcome the city of Jericho. And then they had to face the Amorites. And the sun stood still for the nation of Israel to conquer the Amorites. And we read story after story as to how Israel took possession of the Promised Land. So as we conclude this series, we're going to go to the very last chapter in the book of Joshua. And if you have your Bibles or your iPhones with the Bible app on it, let me encourage you to open it to Joshua 24, because I'm actually going to be reading 15 verses. Somebody say 15.
15.
Somebody say 15. 15 verses. Can you guys handle 15 verses today? I hope you can. But I thought it best summarizes this entire series, these entire few months, as Joshua gathers his people, okay, and gives his last words. This is like his farewell address to Israel. Joshua 24, verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves to God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out." Yes. Verse 6, "When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness." How long? For a long time. I know, I like how Joshua just summarizes 40 years by saying a long time. How many have been walking through some difficulties just for a long time, right? It's just been a while. And that's what Joshua's pointing out here. For a long time. "I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, because you cannot curse what God has blessed. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan, came to Jericho." Yes, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But what did I do? I gave them into your hands. And I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. He's saying, Israel, you didn't do this. And I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and in olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates rivers and in Egypt. And what? Serve the Lord. Okay, serve the Lord. Verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But here are Joshua's famous last words. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I want to talk to you a message I've entitled Full Circle Moments. Full circle moments. Have you ever had a full circle moment in life? This past week, I had a full circle moment. It's quite interesting. I live in the Pine Bush area, and my wife and I usually head over to the track maybe two or three times a week. And this past week, I bumped into my old football coach from Pine Bush High School. I played 4 years of football in high school. And after years ago, he, you guys hearing me? Yes? Don't fall asleep now, okay? Many years ago, he used to be my football coach. And I saw him, you know, a couple weeks before. I thought that was him. And he bumped into me. He says, "Hey, I see you doing intervals." And I says, "Yeah, are you Coach Locke?" And he said, "Joey, how are you doing?" And 30 plus years ago was the very last time I saw my coach almost at that exact place on the football field. It was pretty interesting. It was pretty cool at the same time. You know, he looked great. He's retiring in 1 year. And we began talking. He asked, did you retire yet? And I'm like, man, I sure wish I could retire now. He says, aren't you in the state police? He remembered years and years ago when I was going to become a New York State trooper. And I said, oh, no, Coach Locke. I didn't become a state trooper. I became a pastor. He's like, wait, what? No, he didn't say that. He said, oh, that's great. That's great, Joe. So proud of you. I says, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I pastor right in Middletown. Oh, yeah, I know that church. Yeah, I've heard about that church. That's so great. He says, you know, when the good Lord calls you, the good Lord calls you. And it was just such a surreal moment to meet up with my old high school football coach. He has one more year coaching modified in Pine Bush. And I pray that he gets to have a season this year. He's hoping to have one more season coaching. I had another full circle moment right here in this church. I grew up in this church. I don't know if you know this, but I attended this church way back in 1985. I was 13 years old, and my parents came to this church. I attended the youth group in this church, and it was in this church that God called me to ministry. And I left this church in 1993 to go to Bible college. I ended up graduating in 97, got married in 97, and then started ministry in Boston, Massachusetts. And after many years of ministry in Boston and Western Mass, in 2009, I came full circle. And the Lord opened up doors. God opened up doors for me to come back home to pastor the very church that I used to attend as a teenager. Now, I was surprised just as much as you are surprised as well, because I was a kind of a crazy teenager back in the day. I was one of those that, I love to have fun. Let's just put it to you that way. I raised a lot of havoc in this church, and thankfully, you were not there. Praise God for that. You were not there. Most of you were not there. If not all of you were not there. But it was a full circle moment in which God brought me back from where he sent me from. I'm also thinking of Pastor Glenn and Pastor Adi. I mean, Pastor Adi was a youth. She attended the youth group here way back in the day. God calls her to ministry, takes her to Florida, then from Brooklyn to Florida to Long Island, and now she's come full circle back home to the church she used to attend. And when we read scripture, we often find stories in which God's people come full circle. There are these full circle moments that God uses to speak messages into our lives. And in the nation of Israel, this is a full circle moment. We read that they were gathered at Shechem. And that's the very first verse you'll read there in the scripture. They were at Shechem. And Shechem is significant. Why? Because the Bible mentions Shechem as the very first city in which Abram, which soon became Abraham, later on became Abraham, came to after God spoke to him a promise. God spoke to Abraham the promise. And this is what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, and I will show you. And then in verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation. See, God had a promise for Abraham, but the promise included a process. How many know that? There's always a process that's involved when you're trying to possess God's promise for your life. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. How many know that God's promise and God's purpose for your life is that God would bless you, that God will make you great, that God will prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future? He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. For what purpose? So that you will be a blessing. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Listen, God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. But the sole purpose of God's blessing over your life is so that you can be a blessing to other people. That's the purpose for the blessing. That's the purpose for the promise. It's not just so you can hoard God's blessing. It's so that God can bless others through your life. So he says, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And all the peoples of the world will be blessed through you. This is what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So Abraham obeyed. He goes south. He travels through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh, and then he arrives at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were still living in the land. Okay? And verse 7, it says that the Lord appeared to Abram and said this. Okay? He's at Shechem. He's by himself. The Lord appears to him at this place and says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared before him. At that moment, God speaks to Abram and reaffirms his covenant. Where? At Shechem. Fast forward 500 years. Okay, fast forward. 500 years. Joshua gathers the people where? At Shechem. And they have a full circle moment. Joshua's reminding them of where they came from. You see, God often will use full circle moments to show us how far we've come from. How far we've come. You know, I know we're not where we want to be, but how many know we aren't where we used to be, right? How many know that? We're a work in progress. And sometimes we have to look back from where we came from and recognize that God's hand is upon us, that God has blessed us, that God has prospered us, that God has promoted us, that God has used us in great ways. Sometimes we lose sight of where we have come from. Sometimes we lose sight of the promise that God has spoken to us. Why? Because of trials, because of troubles, because of difficulty, because of challenges. It's so easy to lose sight of the promise. It's so easy to lose sight that God has a plan and God has a purpose for our lives, because sometimes life includes circles. Sometimes we will find ourselves wandering in circles. You ever wander in circles? See, this is the problem. Abraham believed in the promise, but he thought that it would happen quickly. He thought that it would happen very quickly. He thought that the way God worked was through straight lines. God speaks to me at point A. Point B is in that direction. Therefore, my next step will be point B. But how many know that God doesn't work in straight lines? When God wants to bring you from point A to point B, how many know? He'll lead you in some circles. You see, for me to get here in 2009, I had to go through some other experiences that actually prepared me for this moment. You see, in order to walk into God's promise, God's purpose for your life, there has to be a season of preparation. And sometimes God will bring you full circle to show you how far you've come. But then there are other times that God will use full circle moments to do something deeper in our lives. See, sometimes God leads us into the wilderness. Sometimes God leads us into difficult places. Sometimes God will allow us to walk in circles for a purpose so that he can strengthen our faith, so he can refine our faith, so he can work deeper in our lives. And I just want to remind you that just because you don't see progress doesn't mean that God is not working in your life. Just because you don't see progress doesn't mean that you're not making progress. Sometimes God has us walking in circles and we are actually making progress while we're walking in circles. See, the problem is that God's process doesn't always take us on a straight line. Far often enough, God's process takes us in circles. So there's Abraham. I hear the promise. I know the promise. 25 years later, he has a child, but it would be another hundreds of years before Israel would actually possess the promise. And then when they finally got delivered, what did they have to do? They walked in circles for 40 years. Because God was doing something in them. God was doing something to them. I can't tell you how many times I've had to walk in circles over my life or in life. I can't tell you how many times I've had to walk around in circles before I've seen God work miraculously in my life. I remember a few years ago, we're trying to purchase a house, and I knew without a doubt that God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had the perfect place for us. But it would be 5 years before we would actually possess what we felt God had promised. We faced all sorts of challenges. When we relocated from here, from Pittsfield to here, Massachusetts, it was during the crash, the housing crash. And we lost money in our house in Massachusetts. We had to short sale the house. And at that time, if you short sailed your house, you couldn't qualify for a mortgage for 3 years. Not only did we lose money with our house, we're not able to qualify for a mortgage. And we walked through this process. And after 3 years, we spent another 2 years wandering and walking and trusting God and saying, God, where are you? I thought you had something for us. I thought you had something prepared for us. I know this is the place you have for us. At that time, the house roof began to leak and we had different problems with the house. And we knew that we had to get out of there. So we searched and we walked in circles and we walked in circles until we couldn't walk anymore. And I can remember the fall of 2013, giving up because we thought we had the house. How many have ever walked into a situation? You go, this is the one. This is the one. And I thought 10 times this was the house. It was like a roller coaster ride, up and down and up and down. And we thought this was the place. This was the place. And something happened. It wasn't the place. And I remember being at my office upstairs, and my wife and I were just crying. And we're like, I thought God had promised. But what do you do when you're walking in circles? You keep walking. You keep trusting. You keep believing. And that's what we did. We didn't understand, but we continued to walk. We didn't understand, but we continued to take laps, right? We didn't understand, but we took another lap. And as we continued to take laps, God was doing something in us. And actually, God was preparing something even better for us. Because even though it doesn't seem like God is working, God is working. How many know that? And sometimes there's a delay. Sometimes there's a delay to you experiencing God's breakthrough, God's blessing, God's promise, because God is still preparing the promise and he's preparing you for the promise. That's why we experience delays sometimes. So after several years, we were waiting, and then I remember that last month we put a bid on a house, and once again we got outbid because we had a price that we were going to stick at. And we gave up. I gave up. I said, honey, I am done. I don't care if I live in a doghouse. I don't care where I live. I don't care where we go. I'm done looking for houses. This is now God's problem. And God said, finally, finally, the walk is doing something. Because now you're learning to trust me. I remember one morning I woke up and I was in prayer and the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you know why you're having so many problems? I said, why, Lord? He says, because the enemy has been trying to steal the blessings that I have released over your life. I have a promise for you. I have a purpose for you. But you also have to be aware that there's an adversary, there's an enemy who is also trying to steal the promise. He's trying to steal the blessing. And I want you to pray against the work of the enemy. So I woke my family up. My boys were little. One was 13. The other one was, I think, was 6, right? Is that right? 12 or 6, something like that. And I remember it was a snow day. And I was so stinking mad because I realized that while I was in this circle, I was also in a battle. You see, sometimes when you walk in circles, you will face spiritual battles because the enemy will want to keep you from what God has prepared for you, from what God has promised you. And I remember praying, and I gathered my family together, and I said, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. No weapon formed against us will prosper. I began to pray against the attack of the enemy over my family, over my home, over my finances, over my children, over my future, over my destiny. See, what I didn't realize is that the enemy had been attacking my family financially and physically for so long, and I had enough. And we took authority over the power of the enemy. Some of you right now are in a battle, you're in a struggle, you're in a fight, and you don't realize that the battle is spiritual, not physical. And what God wants us to do sometimes is take authority over the powers and principalities of darkness that are trying to rob us from what God has prepared for us. You see, some of you are struggling with fear, and that fear is a spirit. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Some of you are struggling with anxiety. Some of you are struggling with worry. Some of you are struggling with things that are happening in the spiritual realm. And what God wants you to do is take the authority he has given to you and exercise that authority over every power and over principality of darkness that comes against you and your family and your home. And immediately as I began to tear down strongholds and begin to pray over my family, I felt a peace. And I knew that something had changed. Well, within 60 minutes, 1 hour, I get a ding on my phone. My wife did, I think, on her phone. And it was the realtor. She said, you know that house that you loved? You know that house that you really wanted? You know that house that for you guys was your dream house and that another person had outbid you? Well, they decided to buy a car during the mortgage process. And they lost the house. The owner wants to know if you still want it, and they'll even drop the price even more. I said, thank you, Jesus. We walked through those doors, but those doors didn't even open. They flew open. You see, when the enemy, the Bible says, when the strong hand man has been found out, he has to repay you seven times. And all of a sudden, at that moment, the enemy, you see, the enemy owed us money. The enemy owed us stuff. The enemy had to repay us the things that were stolen from our lives. And at that moment, everything shifted, and not just in our home, but in our family. To this day, we're experiencing the blessing of God. So not only did we get the bid? The owner said yes for the price we offered. We got the inspection for free. We got item after item because the other person did all the work. Everything was done. So we get to the closing, and there's a certain amount that they tell you that you need at the closing, right? They say, this is the amount. Come with a checkbook. That's what they always say, right? Right? Come with a checkbook. I said, okay, but this checkbook only reaches this amount. After that, ain't got nothing in there because this is it. I already talked to mom and dad and uncles and everybody else, brothers and cousins. I already worked on that. So I remember sitting at the table, and the lawyer says, or whoever says, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Nieves, there's a miscalculation. I said, here we go. It always comes out more, right? It always comes out more than they ever tell you. But they said, put your checkbook away. You don't owe us any money. We owe you money. Come on now. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's what happens sometimes when you follow God's plan and purpose for your life. When you keep walking, when you keep circling, even when it doesn't make sense, you keep walking, you keep believing, you keep trusting. See, at the right time, at the right moment, God's purpose and God's promise will come to pass. You see, God, I just want to tell some of you today that your promised blessing is still on schedule. I just want to tell some of you today, God's promise for your life is still on schedule. It is not on pause. Governor Cuomo does not have the power to hit the pause button over God's promise over your life, over your family, over your future, over your finances, over God's destiny over your life. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. He is our king. He is our leader. That's why Jesus, when he prayed, am I preaching too loud? Sorry for those watching online. God bless you all. But that's why Jesus said, when you pray, he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are moments in which God will allow you to walk in circles. He'll bring you full circle. But then there are circles, full circle moments that God will use to protect you and to propel you into the promise. Let me explain. I don't have a lot of time. Let me explain really quick. Joshua continues to talk to them about all the battles they won. Everybody still with me? Everybody online, let me know. Y'all still with me? Come on now. Lunch is coming. Hang in there. Hang in there. Joshua continues talking to them about the battles they won. He talks about the Jericho. He talks about the Red Sea. But did you notice that Joshua didn't bring up the waters parting? Did you notice that Joshua doesn't talk about the Red Sea opened and God's people walked across the sea and there were walls of water on either side? What does he say in verse 7? He says, but they cried to the Lord for help and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. Joshua talks to them about another full circle moment. The whole message is to bring you to this point today. There's a circle that encircles your circle. Do you get that? There's circles that encircle your circle. You see, Joshua's talking to him about a circle that encircled them as they were circling. Joshua points out of the miracle that they could not see. You see, it was easy to see. You see, we can see the miracles on the outside, but Joshua wanted to bring their attention to the miracle that they could not see. While they were walking into the promise, without them realizing it, God put a darkness that they could not see between them and the enemy. The greater miracle is not what they saw, but what they could not see. And some of the greatest miracles in your life has nothing to do with the miracles that you can see, but the miracles that you could not see. Because sometimes we're so consumed in wanting to see miracles in the natural that we lose sight of the miracles that have happened in the supernatural. Like that we are saved and that we are delivered and that we are free and that we are whole. And God has given us a mind. He's given us breath in our bodies, right? He's taken away our guilt. He's taken away our shame. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Sometimes we get so consumed with the physical miracles that we miss the things that we cannot see. In other words, God, Joshua was telling them, as you crossed the Red Sea, God had your back. But not only did God have your back, if you read a few verses down in verse 11, it says, you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho and you fought all these enemies. In verse 12, he says, and I sent the hornet ahead of you. I sent the hornet. What is that? Y'all like hornets? I hate hornets. But this is what God says. This is what Joshua says. He says, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You didn't do it with your own sword and bow. What was God saying to Joshua and the people? He was saying this. Not only do I have your back, but I'm also setting up your future. God is saying, I've got your back, but whatever tomorrow holds, I am there. I'll send the hornet. What does that term mean, send the hornet? Well, the send the hornet refers to the God that goes before you, the God that fights for you, or the panic-producing power of God. How many like that one? I love that term. What is God saying? He's saying, while you were crossing the Red Sea, I was encircling you. What is Joshua? What is God trying to tell the children of Israel at this moment in Shechem? He brought them back to Shechem and said, look, when I made the promise to Abraham, I encircled him because my hand was upon him. And while he had Isaac, I encircled him. And while the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, I encircled them. And when they got delivered by Moses and wandered in the wilderness, what is God saying? I encircle them. And when you cross the Jordan River, what is God saying? I've encircled them. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 139:5. You have what? Encircled me. You have placed your hand upon me. He is the God of the full circle. In other words, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, right? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. How many know that song? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That's what God was telling them. He says, from the moment in Genesis chapter 12, from that moment to this moment, I have encircled you. I have placed my hand upon you. I have anointed you. I have kept you for 500 years. Now Israel is standing at Shechem, over 3 million strong. It started with one person, a promise to one person. The team can come up if you guys are coming. It started with one person, but God had his hand on his people. And I came to tell you today that the God of full circle has encircled you. He has drawn a circle around you. And he said, I have placed on you my favor. I have placed on you my goodness. I have placed on you my blessing. It may look like you're surrounded, but I'm surrounding you. It may look like the enemy's coming to attack, but I've got your back. It may look like there's a mountain in front of you. It may look like there's something you're facing insurmountable, but don't worry. I've sent the hornet. Come on now. I sent the hornets to go before you, and I've sent the darkness to go behind you, because I am the God of the full circle. And I just came to tell you, TC, that I know it looks dark out there in the world today, and I know things are fearful in our lives today, and I know there's a lot of uncertainty, and I know there's a lot of fear, and I know that there's a lot of challenges that we're all facing, but I came to encourage you, and I came to tell you today not to fear, not to worry, because he's the God of the full circle, and he's not only encircled you, he's placed his hand upon you, and he's driving out the enemy ahead of you, and he's keeping the enemy from coming against you. He's the God of full circle. He's circling you right now. Come on, come on. He circled you right now. He's circling you. You don't have to be afraid. He circled your children. Come on now. He's circling your children, right? Come on. So put a circle around your kids right now. Say, God, encircle my children. Come on. Encircle my family. Encircle my home. Come on now. So encircle my home. Encircle my church. Can we do that, Lord? Encircle my church. Encircle my children. If you're at home right now, begin encircling your home. I know it's weird, but that's okay. Encircle your home. Say, God, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Because you're the God of the full circles. Some of you need to pray this prayer. You may be facing challenges. Some of you need a prayer, Lord, send a hornet. Come on now. I wonder how many people have the guts to pray, Lord, send a hornet. Send a hornet. Send a hornet. What are you facing? Trying to buy a house? Trying to raise kids in this culture? Looking for work? Looking for financial blessing? Say, Lord, send a hornet. Go before me. Go before me, God. Go before me, Lord. Can we all stand together and say, Lord, send a hornet.